I've been going on for a while, to do with the church vision statements. And the last few times I've gone, I've been thinking of things to do with revival, signs, and things that we need to aim to get into as we want the church to come more and more into a move of the Holy Spirit. And this morning I'm going to talk about healing. Now, when Jesus walked into a room, healings always happened. And there's no reason why it should be any different today. Probably all of us have got, being honest, you know, a mixed track record when it comes to healing. I know I have. As a young evangelist, you know, I started believing in healing. I hadn't been brought up really in a church that preached much about healing. But I started to believe God wanted to heal the sick and God wanted to use me. And I started going out in faith, laying hands on the sick, and had some glorious successes and some notable failures as well. I remember just in the first few months of being a young evangelist, I was taking a meeting in Patrington, out Steve's way, far away, and a dark winter night, and there was a room of about 10 people, and they were all from the Anglican Church there, so they weren't really into all this healing stuff. But before I went, I just knew God was going to do something with healing. And I spent the whole day praying and fasting and seeking God. And sometimes you just know there's an anointing on your life. And that evening there was an anointing on my life. And I just said at the start of the meeting, I'm going to pray for healing tonight. I believe God's going to heal some people. And one man there said, I've had this frozen shoulder for a few years. I can't lift my arm up more than there. And just laid hands on him, and instantly his hand, he could lift it up. And that released something in the room. And of those 10 people, I think 8 were supernaturally healed. Different things. One had a massive growth, cancerous growth on their leg, like a melon, and it just instantly vanished. He said, Where's it gone? It just like that. I don't know where it went. It just went. And over the years, you know, I've seen so many healings, blind people seeing. In the UK, this is not in Africa. Deaf ears opened, broken bones, instantly grown back with x-rays to prove it, and so on. I've had some notable failures. And for reasons that I don't understand, people that I've really believed would be healed, should be healed, ought to be healed, and I've prayed every prayer I can pray in the book. I remember one lady, again, I was a young evangelist at that time, and she'd heard a few healing stories, and she had bad arthritis, and she called me to come. And so I prayed for her, and you know, I kept asking, is your pain gone? No, it hasn't gone. Prayed and prayed and prayed so hard for about half an hour, and then I said, well, sometimes it's gradual. I'll come back next week, after a week. And so I came back after a week. And how are you? Just the same. And I think I went about 4 times to her, and in the end, she was too embarrassed to pick up the phone. It was like, I don't see that man again because nothing has changed, and I feel bad, and I know he feels bad. Why does it happen like that? I don't know. But what I want us to, you know, what I want to encourage us this morning is that God is a healing God. And in spite of the failures, in spite of the times where people aren't healed, we need to keep pressing on until we get the fullness of what Jesus died to accomplish. Jesus died so that we might be healed. There's enough healing in the atonement for everybody. Every sickness, every disease was placed upon him on Calvary. And we need to keep pushing in until we get it. We don't just pray for healing because we want to see more people in the church. And in fact, not everyone who is healed will come to faith in Jesus. You know, Jesus himself prayed for 10 lepers on one occasion, and only one came back to follow him and to thank him. And I've seen that in my own ministry. I prayed for a blind boy in Long Hill when we were working there, and he was instantly healed. He was in a special school, and he ended up going into mainstream school, could see perfectly. And not one member of his family ever came to church to say thank you. I was with his grandma when I prayed for him, and his mum and dad didn't even bother to ring or, you know, to contact. And that's just how it is. Some people just think, well, now we've got rid of this inconvenience, we can get on with our life. And they're not interested in God, they're just interested in themselves. So healing in itself doesn't necessarily build the church. So we don't pursue healing just because we want meetings to be more exciting. Of course, it's always great when people are healed. It is exciting. But we pursue healing because healing is a part of the gospel. You know, we have to use more than words when we tell people that God loves them. We have to use actions as well. And we have to love people, we have to care for people. But when we talk about an almighty God who is above all powers, who loves you, you can't credibly preach that message unless healing accompanies the words that you say. Because otherwise people will say, okay, well, if there is a loving God who's all-powerful, why doesn't he do something about my situation? Healing is a part of the gospel. And if we're not practicing healing in our ministry, we're only preaching a partial gospel. I love the story of John Wimber. I'm sure many of you have heard of John Wimber, perhaps been to his conferences or read his books. He's passed into glory now, but he was one of the foremost exponents of healing, really, in the church, probably 20, 30 years ago. And, you know, he was, as a young pastor, he was a strongly non-charismatic pastor. He didn't believe in healing or the gifts of the Spirit. He thought they were just to start the church at the beginning. And so he thought that preaching on healing and stuff was divisive and, you know, dangerous. So he shied away from that. But his wife started to have unusual experiences of the Holy Spirit. And she started to experience healing. And in fact, she had, I think, rheumatism or something wrong with one of her shoulders. And she believed that God told her that her husband had a healing gift, but he wouldn't pray for her. So one night when he was asleep in bed, she sort of, you know, moved over close to him and put his hand on her shoulder. And she felt power flow through his hands. And all the pain went out of her shoulder, and he woke up and what's going on? My hands are all hot. What is happening? She said, oh, you just healed me. And he said, I don't believe in healing. But through that experience and others, he started to see that healing was a part of the gospel. And he started to read books and read the scriptures, and he started to pursue healing. And he was just pastoring a little church at that time. And he felt God say, well, if you want to see healing, you need to start preaching healing and having altar calls. So every Sunday, he preached something about healing from the Gospels and, you know, the letters and different places in the Bible. And he'd have an altar call. People would come forward. And those laying hands on them would end up catching the diseases of those that came forward for prayer. You know, he said it was like healing in reverse. All the ministry team got sick and no one ever got healed. After about 8 or 9 weeks, he got so frustrated with it, they hadn't seen one person healed. And he just said to God, I will not teach about healing anymore. I'm just not doing this anymore. And he said at that point, God spoke clearly to him. And God said, either preach my word or get out. He said that was a turning point in his ministry. God said to him, preach my word, don't preach your experience. You might not be experiencing healing, but my word talks about laying hands on the sick and they will recover. Preach my word or get out. So he kept chasing after healing. And people started leaving his church because there was such a discrepancy between what was preached and what they were experiencing. They're thinking, this guy's a hypocrite. He's talking about healing and yet we come and no one's ever healed. He went and shadowed other pastors who prayed for healing. He did everything he could. For 10 months, every Sunday, he was preaching about healing. That's a long time, isn't it? Not seeing one healing. He said the lowest point of his ministry came after about 10 months. A sick person had come forward at the end, and him and the team were crying out. They prayed for an hour or more for this guy, and the guy didn't change at all. His pain didn't go. He was just the same. And John Wimber said after about an hour, he just dropped on his knees and he just cried out to God. He said, God, this is just not fair. You say in your book that we'll lay hands on the sick and they'll be healed, and they're not being healed. You need to back up your part, God. We're doing our part. If you don't do your part, we're not going to do this anymore. This is just not fair. And he said that he looked around and he saw all the rest of the ministry team were on the floor crying with frustration, just crying out for God to change something. He said after that meeting, they limped home, not knowing if they could pray ever again for the sick. And then the next morning, the phone rang. And it was one of their newest church members. And he said, I've just got a brand new job and I start this morning, but my wife is sick in bed with fever and we can't find anyone to look after the children. You've got to come and pray that my wife is healed, otherwise I'm going to lose this brand new job. And John Wimber put the phone down. He thought, oh, there's still someone who believes this rubbish. God, you've either got to come and heal or I'm going to spend all day babysitting these stupid kids. So he went to the house and, went into the bedroom. And this woman, all her face was swollen and red, and his heart sank. He thought, oh, we've really got a hard one here. It's not one we can pretend, you know. And he just laid his hands on her and prayed some lifeless prayer because he still hadn't recovered really from the discouragement of the day before. And then he turned round and he started his talk about why God doesn't heal everyone. He said, I'd perfected that talk after 10 months of unsuccessful healing ministry. And I was partway through this talk explaining why God doesn't always heal. And suddenly the guy's attention that he was talking to was distracted. He was looking over his shoulder and then suddenly he smiled. And John Wimber turned round. And the wife had got out of bed. Her swelling had gone. Her face was no longer red. And he said, what has happened to you? I think he was so surprised he nearly fainted. And God had healed her. He said he was so happy on his way back to the car, he shouted out at the top of his voice, we got one! And he was driving home from that house. And suddenly he had this vision in the sky. It was like this huge cloud bank. But instead of clouds, it was a honeycomb, a huge honeycomb in the sky. And it was dripping honey down on the earth. And he said there were people with very different reactions under this honeycomb. Some were reverently lapping it up, catching the honey and eating it and taking it and sharing it with others. And they were rejoicing and full of, you know, gladness at this wonderful thing. And others were just getting irritated because it was such a mess. They were covered with honey and it was messing up their clean gardens and there were people everywhere where they shouldn't have been. And they just were irritated by the whole thing. And he pulled over his car, he was looking at this vision, he said, God, what is this? And God said, this is my mercy. He said, "There's enough of my mercy for everyone. I don't want you to ever beg me again for healing. The problem isn't at my end, it's at your end." And I, you know, that's very profound. The problem isn't at my end, it's at your end. And I believe that that is true, that, you know, the reason we don't see more healings is because of some problem at our end. And so I just thought I'd think of, you know, two or three things, and the rest of the time we'll share, think about those things. Things that are problems at our end that stop healing being released to the fullness that it should be. Because if Jesus was walking around my life, if he was going the places that I go and meeting the people I meet, I can guarantee there'd be a lot more healing than what I see. You know, often we blame the people that we pray for. Well, they weren't healed because they didn't have any faith, or because they had hidden sin, or different things. But I think really the problem is with us. You know, those of us that are ministering healing for whatever reason, and we'll think of a few different reasons, that it's our problem. It's not that God doesn't want to heal. It's not that it's the wrong time, the wrong season. God isn't healing on Wednesdays and it's Wednesday today. You know, God's mercy is there, dripping from heaven. But there's some problem at our end that is stopping the fullness of healing being released. So I think, for me, probably the biggest problem with us is that we don't care enough that other people are suffering. We've not become sensitized to feeling what they feel. You know, God is so sensitive to each one of us. He feels the pain that you feel. He catches your tears in a bottle. Somehow he's engaged in your world. He's walking with you through your world. But for most of us, we live our life in an isolated little bubble. That bubble interlocks with the bubbles of a few other people, our family and our friends, and you know, a few colleagues here and there. But basically, you know, we're in our bubble and they're in their bubble, and our lives are not somehow bound together. And that's because we don't love as much as we should do. We meet someone and we're not thinking, what is life like for you? Where are you at, and what are your issues? And so, you know, as you grow in the Lord, you should be able to start sensing in your spirit what's going on the inside of somebody else, even before they talk. The more sensitive we become, the more we take time to listen to the Holy Spirit as we're walking around, the more we're living in that inner quietness. As you meet people, you know, without them saying a word, you should know how they're feeling and what's going on in their life. And I've often said healing is just love in sort of liquid form. You know, all healing is love expressed in a practical, visible manifestation. And Jesus, he felt the pain at Lazarus's grave when, you know, the pain of all the family, he wept because it bothered him that much. You and me, we walk and someone says, oh, you know, I've got arthritis, I'm painful this day. And somehow it doesn't get us on the inside. We just think, oh, that's your problem. And there's no life flowing out from our heart to their hearts. With Jesus, there's always that flow of life from him into them. Just like with our Heavenly Father. Life flows from him. Sympathy and power flows out from him into the other. And because we're living in this little bubble, that's one of the reasons we don't see healing. Then, you know, someone says, oh, would you pray for me? Or we take a step. Yes, I'll pray for you. But because there's not that connection somehow on a spirit level, because there's not enough love and sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, I believe that's one reason why we don't see as much healing as we should do. We need tenderizing, just like you tenderize steak. You know, if you get a nice steak, and if you don't know how to cook it, you just put it in the pan or the oven, whatever, cook it, it comes out like an old boot. And someone in our family, I won't tell you who, but it's not me, is terrible at cooking steak. And actually, she doesn't cook it anymore because it always tastes like an old boot. So, you know, she won't do the hammer thing. But it makes such, if you get a hammer and you blam that steak, somehow it rearranges all the particles, doesn't it? I don't know how it works technically. But I know if you beat your steak, it comes out tasting so much, it melts in your mouth. And I think we need to allow God to tenderize us. Sometimes it's a little bit painful. And I was reading a book, you know, as I was preparing for this, Colin Dye. It's called Healing Anointing. Colin Dye is the minister of Kensington Temple, one of the largest churches in the UK. And he tells the story of when he was a young minister. He believed in healing. He'd seen other people heal people, but he'd never really seen that much healing come through his ministry. And he was working for God, you know, and all of that. Then he had a daughter, little baby, and one or two days old, something went wrong with the baby, and it developed severe brain damage. I think a breathing problem or something, I'm not sure. But this baby had severe brain damage, and they put it on a life support machine, just a couple of days old. And the doctor said, there's no hope. If we turn off this machine, you know, the baby will die. We can't prolong this because there's no reason to. Your baby is basically just dead. We're just artificially prolonging the life. And Colin Dye said, you know, what do you do in that situation? So he went home with his wife and they were praying and fasting and asking God what to do. And he said, I just couldn't believe that an all-powerful God who loved me would not do something in that situation. So they said to the doctors, no, don't turn the machine off, just give a little bit longer. And they started praying for healing. They started seeking God and reading the scriptures and reading all the healing books. And you know, after, I don't know, a week or 2 weeks, the little baby started tugging at all the tubes. Like she wanted them off, and the doctors took her off the life support machine, and she kept on breathing. And that was a miracle. But she still had brain damage. And as the weeks turned into months, you know, they had this severely brain damaged baby that started growing, ordinary in some ways, not ordinary in another ways. And he said that was the start of a process where they started going after God as hard as they could for healing. They'd known sick people before, but it never bothered them enough to seek God for healing because it wasn't their problem. But now it was their problem. And so they started storming heaven and studying and pushing everything they could push to get more healing anointing in their life. And they started experiencing that God would heal people around them. He'd start healing people in all the meetings he went to, amazing healings. Still, his little daughter wasn't healed. Well, that little girl lived to 16 years old, which was a miracle. She never walked, she never talked, and then she died. Now, why that happens, we won't ever know before we get to glory. God is good and his plans are perfect. We don't understand them. But what we do know, and what Colin Dye said, is that if that baby hadn't been born like that, thousands of other people around the world would not have experienced a healing miracle from God, because that thing pushed him into God, you know, to seek for healing in his own life in a powerful way. And, you know, as a result of that, many people were healed. If we don't learn to overcome our failures, then we'll never have a successful healing ministry. And as the church is, you know, that's really true. And, you know, I hope that the percentage of people that we pray for that get healed goes up. But we mustn't stop praying just because someone is healed, just in the same way that we mustn't stop preaching the gospel just because somebody isn't saved. We do the best that we can, and we leave it up to God. Another reason why more people aren't healed is because we don't have the sensitivity or the wisdom to know how to minister healing in the right way. It's like, you know, if, I don't know, you know, there's all the boxes in the street that have all the telephone cables. I don't know if they're like that now, if it's all changed, but in the old days you'd open those boxes and there'd be about 1,000 different coloured wires. And some guy would know how to connect those the right wires up to make your telephone work. And I think healings can be a bit like that, that there's power there and there's, you know, there's the telephone there, but which bits do you have to connect to get the power flowing through? And I remember, you know, years ago I was doing a mission somewhere in East Yorkshire, actually not very far away, and there was a lady who had such bad arthritis, her hands were like this, she couldn't open them, she couldn't hold a needle, and she loved sewing. And I just had a sense God wanted to heal her, so I prayed for her, and absolutely nothing happened. And you know, so often we pray, nothing happens, and then we give up. Instead of asking God, God, why did nothing happen? Why has this lady not been healed? What is blocking the healing? And so I said to the lady, let's just stop a minute and just ask God why you're not being healed, because you should be healed. If I pray, you should be healed. So something's wrong somewhere here. So we just stopped for a moment. And I felt God say to me, There's some blockage to do with her son. So I just said to this lady, you know, I don't know anything about you. I don't know if you've got children or not, but I just felt God say to me, there's some problem with to do with your son. You know, does that mean anything to you? And she just burst into tears. And she had a son who'd grown up a bad one, in spite of, you know, the way she brought her up. He'd fallen in with a bad crowd and he'd ended up, you know, doing drugs or something, and ended up in prison. And this son was in prison, and it was such a traumatic experience for her. So much shame that, you know, that had affected her physically. And I said, oh, how long has he been in prison? And it was about 2 years. And before I'd asked her, how long have you had arthritis? It was about 2 years. Somehow, because of what had happened to, you know, spiritually, emotionally, whatever, in her brain, the trauma had caused something to go on inside her that had led to this arthritis. If we hadn't asked God, if I hadn't have heard that word from God, that miracle would never have happened. We prayed and she was instantly healed. We prayed about the son and she forgave him and all of that. So somehow, you know, we need to not just lay hands and pray in a simple way, but we need that wisdom and that sensitivity to know which wires to join up. How should we pray? What words need releasing? When Jesus prayed for the sick, he didn't always pray in the same way. He did it in a lot of different ways. Sometimes he laid hands on people. Other occasions he just spoke a word, didn't touch them at all. Sometimes he got hold of them and he physically pulled them up from their sick bed, and as they were pulled up, strength came into their muscles. Other times he shared a word about their past or about the sin in their life. One time he took a load of mud and he rubbed it in the guy's face, told him to wash it off. Another time he spat into somebody's eyes. I mean, you know, there were lots of different wires there, and he had to find the right one. And I think sometimes we miss it because we don't have that sensitivity to listen, to hear the way that it needs to happen. Even probably, you know, the thing that Jesus was walking through a crowd one day and he just stopped because he knew that someone had touched him. I mean, how many times are we walking through the marketplace in Beverly and there's people all around, and God might be whispering to us, that lady there in the blue coat, you need to just stop and pray for her. But like I said earlier, we're just in this little bubble of our own life and what we have to do. And we're not thinking about what is the Holy Spirit saying. All these people around us, what is the Father wanting to do? We're not sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit, so we miss so many opportunities. And lastly, and of course this is a huge subject, but I've had my time and I don't want to leave the kids in there too long. We don't have enough faith. We don't really believe deeply enough that God wants to heal you now. And I think that's, you know, a reason, probably one of the biggest reasons why we don't see more people healed. We go through the motions, you know, we invite people forward at the end and we pray for them, but we don't really believe that that person will walk out of this room today without that sickness. And, you know, in the early days of the Beverly Community Church, which I started years ago, we had Melvin Banks come a couple of times. Maybe some of you know him. He's an old-fashioned healing evangelist. He's a bit of a rogue in some ways. But he stayed at our house a couple of times, maybe even three times we had him. But that guy had faith. And when he came to town, you know, he had these flyers like the Daily Sun type style of, you know, miracle healing, a lady out of a wheelchair, and we put them around every house in the town, and sick people would come. And he just knew that God was with him. And he knew that people would go out of that room healed. And it was just fascinating to be with him. You know, he'd preach for a while, tell them about Jesus, and then he'd say, right, now we're going to see people healed. And he'd go up to the hardest one in the room first, and it would nearly always be someone in a wheelchair. And he'd just start praying, and he'd say, right, stand up and walk. And some of us would be like cringing and thinking, oh no, you know, this poor lady, what the suffering she's now going to have. But he'd lift them up, and very often they'd start taking a few steps and they'd start walking. And in the community church, the first time he came, we had 10 people saved, you know, and added to the church through his healing crusade. Because, you know, because of the guy's faith, people were healed. And somehow we need to grow in faith. I think one thing that would help us with that is we need to start sharing testimonies of what God is doing amongst us, because people are healed and the rest of you don't know about it. I mean, even this week, Jill and Margaret were praying for a lady in there was a healing clinic appointment. And was it this week or last week? This week. Last week. And I don't know who the lady was. It wasn't one of us. It was someone from the outside. And I don't know what she had, the problem. But Jill said, you know, the power of God just came on her so strongly. Her whole body was shaking like this. And she'd never experienced anything like it. As we share testimonies, that builds up our faith, doesn't it? Because we live in discouragement so much of the time. We live in this thing, well, you know, God heals there, but not here. God does heal here. He is healing now through us and is going to heal more and more as we grow in this. I believe that healing is going to become a more significant part of this church as we go forward. And it's not just for me or Jill to pray. It's for every one of you. God is a healing God. We share his name. We need to be a healing people. Amen. So if anybody wants healing, come forward. And while the rest, you know, you're welcome to stay for coffee.